up, everybody? You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener to the show, hello and welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. I hope you enjoy today's episode. I am your host, Stacey Gottsoulias, and I write for Baseball Prospectus. You can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account or at my personal account, StaceGotts. You can listen to and subscribe to Locked On Yankees on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Player FM, and pretty much every podcast platform available. You can also listen to the show directly on our website, Locked On Yankees. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying, play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. On today's episode of Locked On Yankees, spring training has officially started. Yesterday, Aaron Boone had his press conference. We'll talk about what he spoke about. We'll discuss everything that's happening today. Everything's coming in as I'm recording this. And we will discuss CC Sabathia in our third segment of the show. So, first up, here are some takeaways from Aaron Boone's press conference, which was held yesterday afternoon. So let's start off with my favorite news of the day, that Jacoby Ellsbury will not, I repeat, not be arriving to camp on time because his plantar fasciitis is acting up. Now, I kind of wish I had money on this, because I need money, and it would have been easy money for me to make. Boone said that they expected him here, Florida, as an active player from the start, but he's had some issues with his plantar fasciitis, which crept up as he was going through his rehab during the winter, and it slowed him down a bit. Now, the Yankees feel that Ellsbury's making really good progress, but he's going to stay back in Arizona for a couple of weeks, and they're hoping that he will show up sometime in March. So, yeah. I mean, I feel bad for Ellsbury. It's not his fault that his body just hates him so much. And it was just astonishing to me how he originally hurt his, okay, he hurt his hip, then his back, then his foot. Or was it his back, then his hip, then his foot? It was something. It was he hurt something, then he hurt something else while he was rehabbing for the original thing, and then when he was rehabbing from the second thing, he had the foot issue pop up. So it's just, he's a mess. And 2018 was a complete loss for him, and 2019 isn't starting off so promising. Now, someone who did have a good 2018 was Miguel Andujar. Well, half his 2018 was good. The offensive half. So Boone discussed Andujar, also known as the guy he didn't pinch hit in Game 4 of the ALDS. No, I will not get over that. Anyway, he said Andujar will be at third base, pretty much. And he feels he's in a good place defensively, which I hope so, because Andujar was one of the worst players defensively in baseball. And no matter how good a guy is on the offensive side, if his defense is crappy, it's going to drag him down. So Boone said that they had some things that they had Andujar work on defensively, and he thinks that they've taken hold with him, and that Andujar's had a great winter of work. So hopefully they will continue to work with him during spring training and improve his play at third base. Boone revealed that he went to the Dominican Republic. I almost forgot the name of the country for a second. My brain was like, whoop, and had dinner with Gary Sanchez and his wife. And he said that Sanchez seems to be progressing well from the surgery he had on his left shoulder, which we'll talk about more in the next segment. And Boone said to reporters, I kind of like this quote, so I'm going to read it verbatim. When you're as talented as a guy like Gary, there's no question that the things he went through last year physically will benefit him going forward. The conversations I've had with him, I feel it's a young player who is another year along and a year more mature, and a guy who is frankly very hungry to show the world how good a player he is. Now, if that doesn't get you fired up about Gary Sanchez's 2019, I don't know what will. Because if Gary Sanchez has a bounce back year and Aaron Judge has a bounce back year, just the two of them alone having a bounce back year in that lineup is pretty scary. So I'm pretty happy about that. That's cool. So hopefully things will be good for Sanchez. Again, I'll have more on him in segment two. He said some stuff today to the reporters. Boone discussed the dinner he had with Manny Machado. Well, not just him. It was Cashman, Levine, and Boone, who went out to dinner with Machado, his wife, and his agent. Now, Boone didn't really say much, which is slightly annoying, but I understand why he's not saying much, because Machado still isn't signed. But he said it was a really nice dinner. I enjoyed him and his wife. And then he said, look, he's a great player, and I'm confident that he'll be a great player moving forward. And he said, that's about my take on it. I really enjoyed the day. But my thought is, imagine having to sit across from Randy Levine at dinner. His poor wife. Ugh. Anyway, Boone has high hopes for Troy Tulowitzki. Again, still can't believe the Yankees signed him. So Boone says about Tulowitzki that he's very optimistic about what Troy is going to bring. And he said that even best case scenario that he'll try and protect Tulowitzki, especially in spring training, but even early on in the season, so they're not overdoing it so much, even if things are going well for him. Tulowitzki hasn't played a full season in a while, so I understand that. My take on it is that I just have this weird feeling that people are expecting Tulowitzki to get hurt in his first at bat, but the opposite's going to happen. He's going to start, like, he's probably going to be really good, and it's going to make it hard for the Yankees when Didi comes back. Not that they're going to be like, oh, we're going to pick Tulowitzki over Didi Gregorius, but it's just going to, I think it's going to turn into a situation where the Yankees seem like the bad guys for letting Tulo go. Don't quote me on that, but this is just a gut feeling I have. I don't know. It seems like something that would happen to the Yankees. And let's see, the final thing from Boone is he discussed CC Sabathia. So CC is going to be behind all the other pitchers this spring, obviously, because of his angioplasty and the surgery he had on his right knee. Boone said that the insertion of the stent delayed Sabathia's rehab, so he isn't expected to throw a bullpen for a few more weeks. He also needs to serve that 5-game suspension because of what he did against the Rays in September. And he said that they'll revisit everything in 2 weeks and that hopefully the Yankees will get him going. They said if he's bouncing back, that there's a realistic chance that CC will start the season with them. But they said that everything will be revealed over the next 2 to 4 weeks. So I don't think they should rush him back. Like I've said before, they need to be careful with him. I know he got everything fixed, but there's a history of heart problems in CC's family. He's a big dude. I know he's lost some weight, but I'm still worried for his health, and I don't think they should rush things. We'll have more news about CC in our third segment, but up next, segment number two, we'll discuss what's been going on in the first official workout day at George M. Steinbrenner Field. But first, so today is the first official day of spring training, meaning the first day that players will be on the field officially, with coaches and the manager and all of those guys watching what they're doing. Up until today, they were doing things on their own. Now it's official. Let's see how many more times I say official in this segment. So the first bit of news is that Dellin Betances' arrival will be delayed because his wife had a baby yesterday. So let's congratulate Dellin and his wife on the birth of their son. I just have to say that I follow Betances on Instagram, and the pictures of him and his wife are hilarious because she's so much shorter than him, like really a lot shorter than him, because he's 6'8", she's got to be maybe 5'4". So it doesn't look right when they're standing up next to each other. When they're sitting at the dinner table, it looks a little better, but when they're standing up next to each other, and even when she's wearing heels, it just looks ridiculous. So anyway, congratulations to them. Hope the baby is happy and healthy. Hope Janisa is feeling well after giving birth, and all good things to them. So after that good news, let's discuss Sanchez again. Reporters were asking him questions about last season, obviously, because it was such a bad year for him. And he said through a translator, and this is verbatim, "To be honest, guys, I already forgot about last year." He also said he can't use his shoulder as an excuse for his poor performance. Now, personally, I think he can, because your shoulder has a lot to do with how you're swinging. and how you're hitting the ball. So he should use it as an excuse, but I know as a prideful baseball player, you don't want to use your injuries as excuses. So I get it. But also, I know that that's the reason why he wasn't playing so well. So if he's healthy, again, watch out. So because he's coming off shoulder surgery, expect to see him playing about a week after exhibition games start. And the Yankees' first one is on the 23rd against Boston. So first week of March, expect to see Gary Sanchez playing, hopefully, if there isn't a setback. Adam Ottavino said that he didn't really say much to the Yankees about wearing zero. Like, he wasn't like, I need to wear zero because this is the number I've always worn. He was pretty chill about it and basically said to them, you know, the ball's in your court, whatever you want to do. He told them it's just a number I'm comfortable with. And the Yankees, I'm glad the Yankees decided to make him the first zero in their history, because they have way too many numbers that are retired. And it'll be nice to see a single digit on the back of a uniform again. Because once Jeter's number was retired, we all figured we'd never see a single digit again. And I used to joke that either they'd have to go into triple digits or start using decimals or fractions, which may actually start happening within the next 25 to 30 years. Unless the Yankees go through a really long cold spell and they have players that don't deserve to have their numbers retired. I think if Judge still keeps it up, he'll have 99 retired. I'm trying to think of other players that they can have their numbers retired who've played over the last few years. You know, it's not the same as the guys in the 90s and early 2000s, you know, because those were just, those years were incredible, and the Yankees haven't had anything like that. In fact, if the Yankees don't win the World Series this year, this will be the first decade since the 1910s in which the Yankees haven't either reached a World Series or won a World Series. I think it might be reached a World Series, but still, that's crazy. That's absolutely insane. So, hey, you know what? Maybe the 2010s are going to be like the 1910s, and then the 2020s will be like the 1920s. Although I would prefer the Yankees World Series wins to be closer to 2020. I don't want to wait till 2023. That's too much of a wait. So let's not have that happen. Let's see what else is happening today. Coley Harvey of ESPN.com wrote a really nice piece about Jordan Montgomery. Remember him? Yeah, he's part of the Yankees and part of the rotation and coming back from Tommy John surgery. They're expecting him back for the second half, and he is expecting to do well when he comes back in the second half. He's hoping to help the Yankees. So read that article, reacquaint yourself with Jordan Montgomery, because sometimes we forget he exists, or at least I forgot he existed, which is really terrible. But, you know, when people go away and you're like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. Aaron Boone anticipates that Luis Severino will be the opening day pitcher. That's not surprising. Severino, arbitration, that's going to be happening. I'm just wanting there to not be a repeat of what happened with Betances a couple of years ago, because Randy Levine was just such, I don't want to turn this into a Randy Levine bashing session because I don't want to be blackballed by the Yankees, but the stuff that he came out with, the statements that he came out with, or that came out after Betances' arbitration hearing, were so upsetting. Like, I understand how arbitration works. I understand that the teams have to come up with reasons why they don't want to pay a player a certain amount, but some of the things that Levine said about Betances were just so terrible. And I remember everyone thinking, like, wow, I can't believe this guy actually did this. And I'm afraid that he's going to do the same thing to Severino and throw Severino's bad second half into his face. But when you look at Severino's year as a whole, if Severino didn't pitch as well as he did in the first half, the Yankees wouldn't have made it to where they made it. They wouldn't have won the first wild card. They would have missed the playoffs. So I don't know. I don't want to repeat of that. So can we avoid that, please? Thank you. In our final segment, we will be discussing CC Sabathia, the second longest tenured Yankee behind Brett Gardner. But first, So it looks like CeCe Sabathia is going to make it official on Saturday. The Yankees have announced that they're going to have a press conference, and CeCe will probably be letting everyone know that 2019 is definitely his last season, his 19th season. He's had a hell of a career. So let's go through everything, shall we? He made the All-Star team 6 times. He won the Cy Young in 07. He won the World Series in 09. He's thrown 3,470 innings. He has 2,986 strikeouts. He has 38 complete games, which ties him with Bartolo Colon. He has 246 wins. He led the league in wins twice in 09 and 2010. He led the league in innings in 07. And he led the league in strikeout-to-walk ratio in 07 and in 2012. 2012 was a good year for CeCe. That was probably his last really good year as a Yankee. That was before his knees started giving him trouble, and yeah. So he's only 14 strikeouts away from 3,000. So I think, barring any disaster, he will become the 17th pitcher to cross the 3,000 strikeout barrier. According to MLB.com, that is a smaller group of guys than the 3,000 hit club, the 500 homer club, and the 300 win club. The only 3,000 strikeout members not in the Hall of Fame right now are Roger Clemens and Curt Schilling. Certainly has nothing to do with their pitching, really. Although maybe with Schilling it does, but I don't know. Clemens definitely has issues because of the whole steroids thing. But anyway, back to Sabathia. Now, his postseason record isn't great. I mean, if you look at his ERA, it's a 4.31 in 24 games, 23 of those starts. And 4 of the starts, he's given up 5 or more runs in fewer than 5 innings. But he did pitch to a 1.98 ERA in 5 starts in the 09 postseason. So that's good. And he was a big reason why the Yankees made it to the World Series and won the World Series. He has compiled a 62.7 WAR, and that's Baseball Reference WAR, and that makes him 54th all time. He's short of the average for a Hall of Fame pitcher. The Hall of Fame WAR average for pitchers is 73.4, but there are 26 pitchers with lower WAR marks than his current mark, according to Jaws, which was established by Jay Jaffe. Now, I don't know if you guys know what Jaws is. It's a combination of career and then 7-year peak WAR totals. So Sabathia has a score of 51 on that, and that's also short of the Hall of Fame. The average pitcher has 61.7 Jaws, but his score of 51 is higher than 20 Hall of Famers. So we'll see what happens when he comes up for election. Really hope that he doesn't fall off the ballot quickly. I don't see how he will, but you never know. Sometimes the voters do really stupid things. let's talk about that Brewers stint, because that was a big deal. So if you don't recall, Sabathia was traded from the Indians to the Brewers in early July of 08. And down the stretch, he went 11-2 with a 1.65 ERA in 17 games. And he took the ball on short rest in each of his last 3 starts. And he threw 335 pitches in the last 9 days of the regular season. I don't know how his arm hasn't fallen off, but he also made his adjustment and going from being a power pitcher to being more of a finesse pitcher. That's probably a reason why he thought his career would be a little longer. I really feel that Sabathia probably was hoping that he'd be able to pitch into his 40s like his buddy Andy Pettit did. But, you know, you have to put your health ahead of everything else. You know, you have your family and friends. And, you know, Sabathia has made a very comfortable living being a pitcher. He's done more as a pitcher than a lot of guys have done in their career. He has the World Series ring. He's won the Cy Young. You know, he's done all the things that you need to do as a pitcher, as they would say. So now I would like to close this out by talking about one of my favorite traits of CeCe's, and that is to defend his teammates when there's a baseball brouhaha brewing on the field. one of my favorites was in 2015. The Yankees were playing Houston in Minute Maid Park, and Brett Oberholzer threw behind A-Rod. He blatantly threw behind A-Rod, and he was thrown out of the game pretty quickly, but CeCe went nuts. And if I recall correctly, Girardi didn't even see what happened. He just saw that CeCe was coming out of the dugout and had to try and stop him. And that wasn't the only time that CeCe defended A-Rod. He also defended A-Rod when Ryan Dempster threw at him like three times. Do you remember that game? It was in 2013. A-Rod had just come back from his hip surgery, and all of the news was swirling around about his suspension. And it was a Sunday night game on ESPN, and Dempster threw three balls. It took him three tries to finally hit A-Rod. And it was such a blatant display of, it's not like Dempster was stepping up to the plate, so no one was going to hit him. And it was just so lame that even Curt Schilling was dissing Ryan Dempster for doing it. I mean, come on. If you have to put Curt Schilling on A-Rod's side, you're doing something wrong. So I just remember CeCe going nuts. And Brett Gardner, I think, if I'm not mistaken. The two of them kind of went nuts. So anyway, that's one of my favorite treats of CeCe. Although, which year was it? 2017? When the Yankees had that really weird game against the Tigers where they were just like throwing balls back and forth, and then Betances nearly killed someone, and I don't think he purposely threw at the guy, but it was the game when D-Rob came running, like sprinting out of the bullpen, and there was a shot of Brett Gardner in the scrum yelling at someone, and to this day I cannot read his lips, have no idea what he was saying, but he made CeCe laugh so hard, and I just thought it was so funny, and you know, it's been like 2 years and I still don't know what he said, and I really want to know. But anyway, those are my favorite things about CeCe. I love the way that he backs up his teammates, and there's no greater example of that than what he did in September when he got himself thrown out of the game a couple of innings before he was set to earn his bonus, which the Yankees gave to him anyway, which was nice. I'm nice that Hal was able to part with more money. So, good luck to CeCe. Love you, big guy, and I hope your 2019 is good. So that's it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I've been your host, Stacey Gottsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account or at my personal account, StaceGotts. Once again, you can email me questions at lockedonnyy@gmail.com, or you can tweet them to me. That's fine, too. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher. And if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast. We are going to be doing this every single day through the end of the season. Not every single day, excuse me, Monday through Friday. I will give you guys a break on weekends. So again, spread the word, let everybody know, and happy Valentine's Day, everyone.